Welcome to the Handcuffs and Sawdust Podcast, the show about life on the street as a beat cop and life in the shop as a woodworker. They pull no punches and tell it like it is, so buckle in and get ready. Now, here are your hosts from Marazzo Woodworking, Mike Marazzo, and from Full House Woodworking, Brandon
Sullivan. Hey! Hi, Brandon.
Fuck.
Did I blow you out there?
Yes. You screamed.
I wonder why.
Probably because you screamed.
No screaming. I will no longer scream. I'm so excited to see you that I can't contain myself. I feel like a 12-year-old boy again.
We're off to a great start. Speaking of 12-year-old boys, my son's about to turn 12.
Excellent. When's his birthday?
Tomorrow.
Wow. That's fast. That happened fast.
Our German Shepherd.
I remember when he was
shares the same birthday.
Eight,
really?
Your German Shepherd shares the same birthday?
Yep. Same day, same year, same everything.
Yes, I do remember when he was eight because that's when we started recording. April of 2020.
Oh shit. Yeah. All right.
That has been I've a seen long a time. Third of his life.
That's
wow. Not lately, but you don't know it. I've got some very sophisticated spy equipment set up from Illinois that reaches California.
Oh, well.
All the way out by you.
Sorry about that stuff you saw.
That's all right. We see a lot of stuff as cops, so it didn't bother me at all. Welcome to episode 67 of the Handcuffs and Sawdust Podcast. I'm Mike Marazzo. That's Brandon Silvera. Neither one of us has died or left the country, although you may have left the country in the last 19 months since we recorded. I don't know. I do know you went to Disneyland.
Yes.
I don't know what else has happened.
Yeah, you know, some stuff, things. I went from...
You're still married, still have kids.
Still married, still have kids. All three of them, actually, yeah. Okay. No one's died.
Excellent. That's good.
We actually added a dog. Now we're back to two dogs. We have a corgi named Harper.
Is that the new one?
Yes, that's the new one. Jake's still around. I did a vendor show.
Jake loves your neighbor. Oh, yay. Good for you.
Did a vendor show.
How'd that go?
We'll talk about it.
All right.
And I got a new laser.
Another Ore Tor?
No.
You got a bigger one?
Daddy came up in the world a little bit.
Did you get a Thunder?
No, God, no. I'm not rich.
Okay. I don't know. You might have won the lottery or something.
If taxes on overtime go away, I'm getting a Thunder.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for you. So what did you get?
I now have the X-Tool S1, the 40-watt diode laser with the 2-watt IR module also. So I have technically I got two new lasers.
That's an infrared module?
Yes. So an infrared one so I can mark metal. I just need to find like a slide to practice on, and I don't want to practice on any of my slides because I'm a chicken.
Yep. Where do you find these things to practice on?
Well, I got a buddy who likes to do gunsmithing and build guns.
I can send you a slide. I've got like 15 weapons sitting around that I'm not
using. Steal one from him.
I'll send you one and you can etch on the barrel face, you know, smile when, what's it? Deadpool?
Smile for the flash?
Smile for the flash, yeah, yeah. You can put that on my gun.
Yeah, I could see that being a problem. I could see.
We won't advertise it.
No, I just mean if you ever have to use it.
Hey, I'm a private, you know, citizen now. I can just say I did it myself.
You mean you would perjure yourself?
Yeah, maybe. I wouldn't want to get my buddy Brandon in trouble.
So what's new with you? We'll get through everything. I feel like, well, not everything, but we'll hit the high points of the last 18 months.
You have time. You have time.
Well, no, I mean, as we work through the episode, we'll end up getting through stuff because we have all kinds of.
Yeah. Well, I retired in
May.
Yeah. So last May, not the May that just passed, but May of 23, shortly after we had talked, like maybe 5 weeks later, you know, I normally go out to Idaho to see Uncle Harold in May. That's our annual trip. So Kim and I went out there, and he picked us up from the airport like always. And then we always go for lunch at this one restaurant in Boise. And he gets in the truck and he puts on his GPS and he forgets the name of the restaurant that we're going to. And this, I looked at Kim, I told him what it was, puts it in. We finally get there. And this began to be something we noticed every day. He was doing stuff that he was forgetting stuff. He had these little cards he was writing on, and he made dinner reservations for us on a Friday. And we called to make sure they were in, and they didn't have any reservations, and they had them for a Monday, but someone called and canceled them. So anyways, we noticed this pattern of his memory slipping and stuff. And then we normally go visit my other uncle out there who's in the cemetery. So, as Uncle Harold was driving to the cemetery, he almost got in 3 accidents, which was horrifying, sitting in the passenger seat. So when we finally came home, I realized obviously he was starting to get, I thought, dementia. He was 81 or something. I forget exact age, 81 or 82. And, it turns out that this past Friday was the 1 year anniversary of his passing. And he was a huge supporter of our show, as you know, would brag about us all the time. Loved law enforcement, had a blue line flag hanging out of his garage door the whole time. But my police department where I live, not where I worked, the city in which I live, they came to my door at a Saturday, late 11 o'clock at night. And the kids were both gone out of the house. So Kim rushed down the stairs. I saw him on my Ring camera, and I'm getting dressed, and she runs down the stairs and she opens the door and she's like, "Are my kids okay?" And the officer's like, "Is Michael home?" She says, "Are my kids okay?"
You didn't answer the question.
Yeah. "This isn't about your children. Hopefully they're fine." I come walking down the stairs. There's 2 officers. I say, "Come on in." I'm like, "Is this about my uncle?" And I just talked to him like 3 days prior. And he said, "Yeah, is his name Harold?" And I said, "Yeah." So they came in, they sent 2 guys or 2 officers, a female and a male, sat down at the dining room table, told me that my uncle had passed and he had my contact information on him. So like his town notified Elgin. Well, I just said my town, my police department, because they couldn't reach me directly. So they sent the 2 cars over. And then the city where I live, who did the notification. Now I've done, I don't know, probably 35 death notifications. And where I worked, we don't have counselors that follow up with you or anything like that. We just go give the horrible news, maybe hug the person, and then go on and handle the next call. The city where I live, they had gave me a sheet of resources available for counseling and all this grief counseling stuff I never thought was, you know, possible. But anyways, that set into motion this huge ordeal where he lived alone. He owned his home, and back in 2010, he and his partner, my Uncle Lloyd, they put together a trust for me because they didn't have kids. So it was my responsibility to go out and handle the service. He had already paid for cremation and stuff, so that was no problem. But getting him interned into the Veterans Cemetery with my Uncle Lloyd, and then, you know.
Is that the one up on the hill?
Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous up there.
Yep, my grandpa's there.
Oh, no kidding. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. We'll go in again in May, so you'll have to tell me so I can visit your grandpa's site. So we did all that, and then, you know, you leave there. Now I own a home in Idaho, right, that's just sitting vacant, which I can't stand. So I went back in November, and then Kim and my son went in February, and they took everything out of the attic, which amounted to, he's got a 3-car garage, so 2 of the garages were packed with boxes. So as I'm going through work and stuff and trying to figure out what I was going to do, I played on a baseball team, which I didn't get to tell you. I was in a men's league, 60 plus, played all year. from May till September, but in August I tore my rotator cuff and my labrum and the bicep. So I had to have major surgery in November. I was sleeping in a recliner for 9 weeks. I couldn't use my hand and whatever else. So I knew at that point with Uncle Harold's passing, I was most likely going to retire in May for a number of reasons. One, didn't make any sense financially for me to endanger myself anymore for 2.5% a year added to my pension, because I actually did inherit some money as well. And then I wanted to sell his house because I didn't want a house sitting there. So we looked at renting it out and hiring a renting company and all that stuff. So finally, I just told Kim, I'm like, I'm going to fly out there in May. I can't take all my vacation because then I wouldn't be able to work. I wouldn't be able to have any other time off in the future. So I just decided I would retire in May, although officially in June 21st. So I flew out there May 5th and my son went with me. We packed up the whole house. I hired some shady movers through a broker. Never do that.
No, those are the best movers to get.
Horrible.
They got that prison yard strength.
Yeah, they do. And I think they're Armenian. So they probably did some other stuff too. Maybe body movings. I don't even know.
Racist.
From what I see on television, I don't know. No personal experience. But the plan was to sell that house. And in the meantime, for whatever reason, we decided to buy our forever home in Alabama. So then I had three houses. I was only living in one of them.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Although my neighbor across the street is an Auburn grad, so I got to be careful which flags I fly.
I just yell War Eagle every now and then. It's like gangs down there. You better pick a side.
Oh, I told him. I said, I'm going to hang my Illinois flag, and then I won't have to pick one of the two schools.
And that's how Mike's house was burned down.
Who knows, because I'm not there.
Illinois flag.
Yeah. They're doing pretty good. So we left there. Hunter was there for a week. He flew home. And then I had these shady movers come. And the plan was to take all of his stuff and move it to the house in Alabama and then list his house. So I left on a Sunday. I got to beat the truck there because they charge you $150 an hour per hour that they wait for you to arrive on scene when they meet you at your new place if you're not there. So I was so worried about getting there on time. So I leave on a Sunday. I'm pulling a U-Haul trailer. Never pulled a heavy trailer before. And as a truck overweight officer, I was really heavy. I mean, really heavy. The pickup truck and the trailer were like, you know, the front wheels are almost off the ground. Driving through the mountains in Wyoming in the middle of the night. And I hit a fox in a driving rainstorm. I thought the trailer was going to flip. It was the worst 4 days traveling in my entire life. I was scared to death that I was going to flip the, and I had a bunch of silver coins and stuff in that trailer. And I kept picturing that I was going to flip the trailer. The shit was going to go all over the road. I was going to lose a mini fortune. I was going to die. The kids would be, you know, left without a parent. So anyways, I get down to Alabama. I don't have any furniture. The people that sold the house to us, they left a king size bed in the guest house and some shitty leather chairs in the main house. So that was my furniture. And so Kim sends me down some folding chairs.
You got a place to sit and a place to sleep. You're good.
And sit and shit and sleep. So anyways, the furniture came 2 weeks later. But when I got there on that Wednesday, that's the day the house listed for Uncle Harold. Sold the house the next day on Thursday, which was a huge relief. And so we got that taken care of. You know, it's just been an adjustment now going down back and forth to Alabama to the new house every 5 or 6 weeks and making sure that that's still standing. And that's where we will be when she retires. And I got a huge 3-car garage, which is empty. That's going to be the wood shop. So I'm excited about that. And then a 2-car garage on the house that we could park our cars in. But
very good.
So, yeah. So that's the main thing that's happened in the last year. A year ago Friday was his his anniversary for passing, and tomorrow's his birthday. So it's weird that we're recording today.
Wait, he's October 15th?
Yeah.
So he shares a birthday.
Same as your son. Caleb. Yeah. And a couple of my friends at work. Oh, well, I used to work.
Yeah. So you don't work anymore. You're retired, Mike.
I go through all this rehab, right? Which was horrible. The surgery was god awful. I hope no one ever has to have that surgery, especially when you can't take a shower by yourself. And then that's could be romantic, but not when you're shivering really bad and your wife's yelling at you to stop shaking so much. And so finally, Kim and I, May 1st, it was my last doctor's appointment with my surgeon. And I had been in rehab for a couple months. And so I send a letter to work to my deputy chief, who is now retired. And I said, "Hey, I'm cleared for duty." And he's like, he writes text back to me, "Fuck you." I go, "Got any overtime available?" Because I've been on light duty for like 3 months. He's like, "Fuck you." So due to the circumstances of Uncle Harold stuff, I couldn't work anymore. So I just took all my vacation time and all my P days and all that other stuff and scheduled it out till June 21st. But I would say that everyone I see is, "Hey, how is it being retired? That's got to be great." No. The only, I miss the job, and you love the job, and I love the job. So I miss that, and I miss my friends a lot. Like, we can still call each other on occasion. And Saturday was my buddy's retirement party, the deputy chief that I was just talking about. But I was at my 40th high school reunion right next door in Schiller Park. And now I can say where I used to work because I'm not working there anymore. So I walked over to the retirement party and got to see everybody, and that was nice. But I miss it. So I don't know. A month after I quit or retired, a buddy of mine who's a chief in a city where my other friend Frank is the mayor, and Frank just retired from our department. We've had four guys just retire in the last 6 months. Dan texted me. He's like, "So I heard you might be looking for a job." I'm like, Not really. He's like, "Come have lunch."
Depends what you got.
Right. So we had lunch, and they wanted to make me the code enforcement officer. It's a full-time position, get my own squad, make my own hours, Monday through Friday, days, afternoons, nights, whatever the hell I want. And it got to the point where I actually told Kim, "I'm going to go back to work." She's like, "What are you talking about? You finally got to retire." I'm like, I'm going nuts. I can't just sit around.
But money.
And she's like, "Yeah, stop." So I actually told her I was going back to work, and I told the chief, I'm like, "Okay, let's get the ball rolling." And then he goes, "You know what? Take the weekend. Call me on Monday." I'm like, "All right." Monday came. I didn't call him. The next Monday came. I didn't call him. I wasn't sleeping. I was getting like 3 hours of sleep a night. It was completely overtaking my every thought. So finally I called him and said, "Yeah, I can't take it." So he goes, "How about this? Just work part-time. I'll schedule four times a month. You'll be an actual police officer, not a code enforcement officer. Just keep your certs up, and we'll get you on the range and keep doing all that kind of stuff." So I think we're going to start that next month. So because I'm dumb and need to pull over a car in the middle of the night.
So you're kind of retired.
I'm still retired currently.
So you're going to be like all the retired guys at my department, is they retire and then they become reserve officers, and then all they do is work like parades and special,
yeah, maybe,
and stuff like that, just maybe for money.
Well, I don't need the money. I just need the same,
Well, no, that's not. I mean, they all say it's for the money, but they can't walk away.
Right, and I didn't think I was going to be that guy because I have so much other stuff going on. But if you do something for 25 years, you love it, and that's not even counting the 5 years of the part-time work I did for the same department. So it's in me, I don't know. I feel like, and the way I ended, Brandon, I was on light duty the last several months. I wasn't doing shit. I didn't feel like a cop. The new guys came. I took the rookies to get their uniforms and before they went into the academy and stuff. And
so you were the babysitter.
Got to drive one of them around. The guy who was, we had our first lateral hire ever. So I got to drive him around for a couple of days and show him the town. And, that's the most important thing of my job was training. I love being an FTO, as you know.
I'm actually about to get recertified.
So I miss that. So all that stuff. But yeah, now I'm at, whenever you can record, hey, I don't have a job. I can get up and do whatever I want. So I'm at your beck and call whenever that happens to be.
All right.
So
I almost adopted a kid.
Get out. Like for real?
Yeah, like for real.
How'd that happen?
Funny you should ask.
From a call, I bet.
Yes, absolutely. So I have to be careful because the case has not been adjudicated yet. And suspect in case is looking at not one, but but two life sentences.
Wow.
So to tell you the actual story, I have to go back roughly 6 months-ish, where my buddy and I get a call for, you know, male, female arguing in the middle of the street. Female appears to be pregnant. Show up, obviously, right? Something's going on, but she don't want to tell us. He don't want to tell us. We're fine. We're fine. We're fine. We didn't see anything. All right, fine. You can tell something. She's withholding something. So separate them. Finally figure out what her actual name is. Find that there's a restraining order in place. They're not supposed to have contact. So boom, hook the guy. In the middle of that, she tried to get him out of the back of the car.
She run over to the squad and open the door?
Yeah, she went over to the car and was like trying to pull on the door. What the hell are you doing? Like, get out. No, go. Walk away. And the only reason she didn't get arrested is because she was pregnant and we took pity on her. Well, it turns out it's from the warrant, or not the warrant, the restraining order is out of my home county. So it's out of Merced County where I grew up. And they're both from my hometown.
Oh, oh nice.
I'm like, oh, that's wild. So, you know, driving him to jail, you know, try to have to come to Jesus talk like, hey, dude, you're screwing up your life. You're about to be a dad. Be better. Yeah, annoying. Crying like a little baby the whole way there. So, book him into jail, out of sight, out of mind. Fast forward 6 months. Get sent to a call. 3-month-old. Brought into ER with vaginal bleeding and signs of abuse. And per mom, dad is suspect, dad is en route. Me and my team made it from about as far away as we could be and still be on our channel to the hospital in under 2 minutes. Like,
this is on the midnights?
No, no, well, I mean, this was on a swing shift, so a 3 p.m. to 1 a.m. Okay. So, like, booking it. And this was at, like, 9 o'clock. It's like, I mean,
at night.
Humming. Okay. Yeah. 9 p.m. Just humming on the freeway. So, land. And it was kind of funny because no game plan was established beforehand or anything like that. FTO and recruit and the non-parents went straight to victim while all the dads set up at different entry points throughout the emergency room. And this is a county run hospital. They are not our biggest fans.
I had
nurses coming up to me because they were kind of aware of what was going on. One nurse comes up and she kind of like looks around, like make sure no one's really paying attention. She's like, "Hey, officer."
Yes. Says,
"Officer, do you want me to get you some scrubs and you can like blend in?"
Nice.
So I had nurses actively trying to help us. So anyways.
So wait, if you were to wear the scrubs and take off your uniform, would you keep your pants on or would you actually wear them like scrubs and have your ass hanging out the back with just your underwear on?
I'm
just curious.
Those are chaps. And I think you know me well enough to know that my pants would be
okay.
Off. So let's be honest. Okay,
of course. I just had to make sure everyone else.
So knew. Anyways.
All right.
So we're waiting around for a person to show up. And after a period of time goes by, no one's there. And we grab mom's phone instinctively. And she, for some dumb reason, consents to us going through it. And we find that she tipped him off. Hey, the cops are here. Go away. Don't come here. So then I start to go, okay, fine. Let me go back there. And I see her and I go, oh, you gotta be kidding me. Immediately recognize her from that previous event.
But she looks thinner.
She right? did. She looked like she had dropped about, you know, 5 to 10 pounds.
Yeah.
I don't know how big the kid was when they were born.
Right. Yeah.
So for those of you that remember 18 months ago, I am an evidence collection car. On top of a few other things. So I go, okay, fine. Let me start gathering stuff. Cause this is going to be a big one. Won't get into the details of stuff, but child was x-rayed and showed multiple ribs in various stages of healing from fractures. And for those of you who are parents, know that to break a bone in an infant, that's some pretty rough grabbing and manipulating. So anyways, ends up being a very long night for us. Happy to report that we were able to apprehend the suspect that night, and he was booked into the county jail.
Did he fall at any point?
I don't know. I wasn't allowed to go be part of the apprehension.
Okay. And I just know they're clumsy. Those kind of people are clumsy, and sometimes they fall down.
Yep. And I can't say why, at least not on air. And I think we ended up, you know, the report writing, I think, took us 6 hours. And we come off shift at 1 a.m. So what we would do is we would have these things called RW parties. Somebody would go grab about $75 worth of Taco Bell.
Nice.
And we would invade the chief's conference room.
See,
and
then
we would just all write.
Yeah.
We would write and eat tacos.
Yeah.
And good time. And cheesy gordita crunches. So I got sent, it was my turn to go get Taco Bell. And I think that time, instead of 75, I think I spent about 100.
Nice. Too bad there's no Portillo's there.
Yeah. My, one of my buddies who is now a sexual assaults detective. This is the case that got him into the unit.
Oh, okay.
So he's kind of up there helping with interviews of mom and everything. So we dropped off about half the stuff there. And then the rest of us took over the chief's conference room, and the recruits writing stuff, and like he was getting ready to write like the main report, where he said, no, this one's too important. You don't need to practice on this
right one. We need a seasoned officer to write this report.
Yeah. You're just going to write what you did.
Right.
And it's going to be perfect, because this is the most important report you've ever written.
Right.
And this may end up being the most important report of your life. So get it right. And just know you're going to be critiqued by 6 FTOs.
Yeah.
So good luck, kid.
We're counting on you.
Yeah.
We just want you to know we're all counting on you.
Yeah. So I think we all walked out of there about 6 in the morning. We were all, I mean, especially most of us were dads. Some of the guys were new dads. So I will give our boss a lot of credit, because he recognized it. He stayed with us the entire time. And then he goes, okay. He like calls us or sends out a mass text. And they say, he goes, hey, Monday this time, go to the POA, the Police Officers Association building. We're going to have a critical incident stress debriefing with a therapist. So we did group therapy, and a credit to everybody that was a part of the call. Everyone went, everyone was honest, and it helped. So for those of you that kind of poo-poo those things, which I used to be, they help. They're not going to solve the problem, but they're going to keep you from being all jacked up. But another really cool thing was one of the officers that responded, she had said, like, you know, I've been thinking about possibly adopting her. And that just was like, popped in my head. I was like, huh, I never even considered that. And then came home, talked to Annie, and she was like, yeah, it's kind of what I was thinking too, from the moment you told me what happened. So then the team, we all threw in, I think total like $400, went, gathered up a bunch of baby stuff, because child's grandma had been given custody of the kid temporarily. She hasn't raised a kid since her kid was a little one, and this is now that kid's kid. So we went and did that, talked to my buddy, found out her address, and she lived around the corner, or she still lives around the corner, less than a mile from my mom's house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
do they know each other?
No.
Okay.
Which that was the first thing I thought. I was like, oh God, this could be somebody I actually know. Right. So I went down there because I needed an excuse to go see my mom. Dropped off all that stuff. I think I spent like 2 hours in that house. And then met up with the family afterwards and pulled Annie aside and said, okay, if you're in, I'll reach out to DFCS and we'll see what happens. hasn't, and I will just say that DFCS in the county that I work is a giant pain in the ass and refuses to provide information to people, especially apparently cops.
Hmm. Well, so they're not our biggest fans.
We're sitting in a room that would have been this kid's room. So, but apparently she's with a foster family. She's doing really well.
Okay, good.
And still waiting on court dates to be sent out and all that stuff. But yeah, very, very, very close. And I guess they're still allowing mom to try and work towards reunification.
Oh, that was going to be my next question, because
she just sends me through the roof.
Yeah. There has to be a reason why they won't let the child be put up for adoption yet. Right.
Well, so, they have to exhaust all efforts and all that stuff, but they just keep extending the deadline over and over. I mean, this case is a year and a half old. So there's that. And then now that I'm on day shift, apparently the new prank is no longer pulling a fire alarm. I don't know if you know this.
Oh,
these little shits.
At schools, you mean? Not at the police department. At school. Okay.
No.
Because I first think of pranks at the police department.
I don't even know if there is a fire alarm at the police department I could pull. I'm going to go look for one now. So anyways, this new thing that kids like to do at school is they don't, pull fire alarms and we're all out of class or, call in. I think like in the late 90s, it was the bomb threat, right? Well, now it's a school shooter.
Yeah, of course.
They put out school shooter stuff. Just this shift, because we switched from year-long shifts to 6 month, which is much, much more nice.
Oh, so every 6 months you have to bid for a new shift.
Yep.
Ugh.
So instead of being stuck in one place,
because
what was happening was people were getting promoted and you're bidding for a certain sergeant and that sergeant's gone in 3 months and you're like, well, what the hell? Now I got 9 months of, I went through a shift where I went through three different sergeants.
Wow.
Granted, like luckily for me, they were all awesome, but still like that's a lot of changeover.
Right. It takes a long time to adapt a new sergeant to what you guys do. Our guys used to rotate and every 3 months I'd get these same two back and I'd go, welcome to my shift. And like, this is my shift. They go, no, you're just here for 4 weeks.
No,
this is my shift.
So look at me. I am the captain now.
That's right. I finally watched that movie, by the way.
Oh,
last month. Yeah. So go continue.
So, okay. So the school shooters are the new prank that everyone plays. Well, for you little shits out there, it generates a massive police response and is a lot of work.
And so please stop. Off.
Yeah. Because you're just not. Just go back to pulling the freaking fire alarm. All right. I get it. You don't want to go to school. Be like the rest of us. Put like the little thermometer thing over an incandescent bulb until it gets to the proper temperature and then put it under your tongue. And like, Mom, I'm sick. It's my sickle.
That's a thing?
It used to be.
Are there any incandescent light bulbs in a house anymore?
I could find one. There actually might be one up here.
Oh.
Because this room ends up getting hot. Or it could just be the Mac, which, by the way, let's have a moment of silence for my Mac because it is so old, it can no longer update Chrome.
Oh.
So I had to switch to my laptop.
Okay.
So it's officially dead. I got to pull photos off of it, but it's
my dead. Mac is in this. It's a 2011, so I'm sure that's going to happen to me soon. I only opened it for the officer.
Oh, yours page. Is already there because this is a 2012.
Oh, okay. All right.
So for those of you who are cops out there, and if you have little shits in your town that like to call in or post about school shooter things, what you can do, especially if they do it through Facebook or Instagram, anything controlled by Meta, you can go to their law enforcement portal, request all the information, and make sure you click like mass casualty, or I forget the actual, like,
it'll stick out like a sore thumb,
classification. Yeah, it'll be the one you're like, oh, that's the one. Click that, you'll get IP addresses and all that stuff. And you won't have to go out, write search warrants or anything like that.
Nice.
We'll provide it. And then
I think
you can
that
start.
Apple would never do that, but.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Probably.
Apple is, they don't.
But like police. You will start. Well, I mean, honestly, I'd rather them just hold on to my stuff and not provide it to anybody. So like, I'm not mad about it. Like, frustrated at work, sure, but
right, yeah.
Not that mad. But they'll give you everything you need, and then you can start working that problem. And it's really fun to be able to sit there and confront one of these little shitheads and find out that they did it just for attention.
Isn't that always the case?
They weren't getting attention. So then my response was, well, you have my attention. Congratulations.
So I don't know how your juvenile system works out there, because our, you know, our juveniles have to.
What juvenile system?
Okay. Like when we. I was in the detective division while we haven't spoken since, which was great for like 6 months. And, you know, we have to petition a juvenile to get him in trouble in front of a court. I don't know how you guys do it out there.
I had to call juvenile hall and ask pretty please, will you take this kid?
Okay. Yeah. I think you guys have a little bit more leeway as far as punishment, maybe.
Well,
we do.
Everything is diversion, 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 diversion. They want to introduce kids to the criminal justice system, which on one hand I get, but at the second on this, by the same token, there's no consequence. So why would they stop?
Exactly. Right. All right. I have stories about law enforcement, but we're not going to do them today.
Well, you got to make these last.
I've got a bunch on here that I haven't used since for the last 18 months.
See, these are just all off the top of my head. Like that doesn't even include the school shooter one where we had to go through and like, I'm sitting there booting a door to a school bathroom to try to find this kid. And then all of a sudden 10 of us go rush a classroom and take a kid into custody in the middle of class. That was
fun. Oh, that's fun.
That was fun. The recruit had no clue what was going on.
When do they ever? Takes a while.
Like, stay on my ass. We're going to do some cop shit.
I'll have to hear about that one next time.
I got him into a foot pursuit his very first day, though.
Excellent. Did you guys catch the guy? Or female? Sorry, yeah, I don't want to gender specific.
Yeah, it was a guy.
Okay.
He was a sexual batterer.
All right.
And then he ran across the street, and I almost clipped him.
With your car?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm standing on the brakes, throwing the thing sideways, going, don't hit him, don't hit him, don't hit him. This is not a deadly force option.
Can you just drive by and open the door?
Well, he was on the other side. And then I sent the recruit like a freaking canine. I was like, "Foos!
Get him."
So he ran after him. He runs over to like this old folks home. I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to have to fuck this dude up because I got to save the old people. They can't move fast. They're all sitting outside. And he like runs to a bench, turns around, sits down. I see my recruit like fumble fucking with his taser. He's like, I can see in his brain, he's like, I'm going to tase him. I'm like, you're going to
just sat down.
He sat down. His fists aren't even bald. You can't tase him, but you want to know what you can do? You can grab him and throw him on the ground because he's not listening as I'm screaming, running up. Get on the ground.
Right.
Get on the ground. Oh, he's not listening. Okay, fine. Grab and then boom.
Yeah. Ask, tell, make.
No, that was tell,
that
make.
That was tell, tell, make.
That was tell, threaten, make. Because now we, like, at least in my department, we have to give you don't have to, right? It's if feasible.
Yeah.
You're supposed to give a force warning.
Okay.
Hey, if you don't follow commands, force is going to be used against you, which is basically sometimes when you're chasing somebody, you better fucking stop or I'm going to beat the shit out of you.
Right.
Which I have successfully articulated that that was a very proper force warning.
Yes, it was. I say, if I chase you, I'm bringing an ass kicking with me.
Well, see, if I swear, I have to explain it in my police report. And like, hey, I use strong language to convey the severity of the situation to the person and to gain their compliance. It did not work.
So we just got cameras when I retired, so I didn't have to wear them. I still had one. It was in my bin up in the bay with my number on it. It's still up there when I go and visit. I still got my number on it, but I never got to wear them, unfortunately. Or fortunately, I don't know.
It's
a whole new world.
It exonerates most of the complaints.
Yeah, the bullshit complaints.
So
yeah,
I actually kind of like it. But at the same time, you kind of wish you could actually tell somebody what's what and not have it recorded.
Right.
It's like telling the little shithead gangster, like, hey, dude, you keep this up, you're going to end up airbrushed on a t-shirt.
Nice. You can't say that.
So
It's just a matter of fact. It's a statement of fact.
Can't say it the way you want to say it.
Well,
because I have asked a kid, what color shirt? Yeah, what? Or what color shirt do you want? Like, you're gonna end up airbrushed on a shirt. So which one? What color do you want? Is it gonna be white, black, what?
Yeah.
And he's like, I go, no, dude, you're gonna end up dead. Look at your mom. She's already crying. She knows. You're gonna end up in jail like your brother.
But you have to be able to have those conversations in that open manner. I mean, sometimes, and it might not make a difference. Most of the time it doesn't, but there may be that one case where you get to speak frankly to someone like that, and it actually does hit home. Who knows? But
parents love me, because I'll even ask them, like, "Hey, can I talk a little rough to your kid?" They're like, yeah. "Please,
right?"
Yeah. Like, all right, stand by.
Here it comes.
I also recently had to get sent home sick.
You got sent home sick?
Yeah, it was kind of a funny story though.
How'd that happen?
So this was last week. My recruit has reached the phase of training where I get to be in plain clothes for 2 weeks.
Oh, shadow, right?
Of you FTOs out there know that is the greatest time to be an FTO, because you get comfy clothes. You just, like, you get to actually do like fun cop shit when the actual fun cop shit comes out. But like all the mundane stuff, you're just like, fuck it, I don't care. It's like a vacation. You're comfortable. It's great.
Right.
So we go to a call for service of a guy that's, you know, flashed a gun and he's barricaded in the house. So, you know, we had been on a stop with a local drug user who, it's hilarious, he wears a blanket over his head like a Charlie Brown ghost.
Okay.
But under the blanket, he's smoking meth. And he thinks that, like, with the blanket on, you can't see me. It's fine. It's totally legal. So the recruit's like citing him out. This weapons call comes out. I already know we're going to it. So I like go to the back of the car and I'm in, you know, polo and jeans, you know, gun on my hip and everything. I look super cool. Go, all right, fine. Go grab my plates. I'm like, all right, throw the plates on, grab the rifle, rack it. I should tell you that this stop was made across the street from an elementary school.
Oh, okay.
And remember, I work day shift.
Yeah.
This is during morning drop off. I scared the hell out of so many parents.
Oh,
because I'm like slinging the rifle, plates are on, like, and I, like, parents are just wide eyed, like, oh my god, is he gonna execute the guy?
All right.
I hope not. And then we jump in the car and take off. And like, oh my god, what's happening? So we're standing in the backyard, and I also get the cold sweats. I'm like, oh. Rick, like, this sucks. Like, I'm feeling very good all day. I'm like, this sucks. Like, yeah, like, I'll be fine. And then all of a sudden I wasn't fine. I'm like, oh shit, all right, fine. So I find, like, a little, this lady had like a shed in her backyard.
Did you get really lightheaded?
I a little bit.
Okay.
But I went behind it and, like, pressed my rifle to my plates and, like, bent over and just,
oh, all right. Oh.
and man,
I wasn't expecting that.
I painted her fence.
Puke. Of course you went back with a hose and cleaned it off after you were done.
Man, she didn't have a hose. In fact, I think once we got the guy in the kitchen, we gotta get out of here.
Yeah, time to go.
It came outside. My boss goes, you look like shit. I go, well, I feel like shit. I just should go check that backyard.
Yeah.
He goes, go home. Okay.
What was it? Like a day flu or something?
I don't know, but my son had it at the same time. I came home, and I left at the perfect time. So I came home about an hour later. I was, say, it looked like that scene in Team America. It was bad. They knocked me out for 2 days.
Wow.
So I was down Tuesday and Wednesday, and then came back and finished out the week. And
never went back to the house to wash off the vomit.
No, it was off back in a corner. It's all biodegradable. That's fine.
All right.
If anything, I helped the bush.
Maybe.
But now I got to get this recruit through the last week of, he's like 38 and he's already acting like he's got 10 years on, like he's already over it. like the only way we can get him to actually go out and make like decent stops, and he's not just or like just pulling over the people with expired reg or window tint and stuff, like mom and pop stuff, is what, like, we'll have to issue a challenge. Like, what was it on Friday? My boss goes, all right, dude, you got till 10 a.m. and then I'm going to start looking. And if I go to jail before you,
right,
you're riding with me next week.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, you better hurry up.
I did challenges just to motivate myself after a while.
Well, I mean,
I would involve my buddy Mark.
Well, at this point, he shouldn't need that external motivation.
No, he shouldn't.
That should be there.
Right.
You're this close to being on your own. Like,
right.
Go out there. Show once up. You're on your own, then take a week and, you know, you can chill. But I wouldn't, because you're going to be on a new team. So you got to show show it to them.
Right.
So, like, go. You're still on probation. And it's just irritating. So I kind of called him out in his DOR.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the DOR, you got to do the, you know, most acceptable, least acceptable.
Good.
So his least acceptable was attitude towards police work. I'm like, dude, I'm tired of having to challenge you. Like, I should be a ride along at this point. And I should just be watching. I shouldn't be like, oh, hurt, tick tock. Like, I do that with every other recruit. Like, if I do that, I should be in uniform. So we'll see. Right. We'll see how he responds.
But I missed that part. So
I don't,
you know, it's the last time
frustrating.
It is, but it's part of it, you know.
What I want is like the last
enjoy the process
recruit I had in plain clothes, where she was like turning and burning, and she was like, how many times can I go to jail today? That's fun. Because then you just end up running it like a two-man car, like, hey, let me show you some cool shit of ways to help you get there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I just gotta, like, can you please?
Please.
And it's not like the kid doesn't have talent. Like, when he when he puts his mind to it, he makes good stops. Like, what was it, like a couple weeks ago, like, he got almost 3 ounces of meth off a guy. And then, because I made him, he wrote his first search warrant. So
nice. How much more time you have with this guy?
One more week, unless he screws up bad enough that I extend him, which I am thinking about doing, just to bring him down a peg. Just so, hey, he won't get off on time and he'll be like, oh, no.
Maybe it'll kick him in the ass.
I don't know. But I just don't want him in my car anymore. Because if I extend him, it's going to be it's 4 more weeks with this kid.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Just go be somebody else's problem. Like, he's good enough, but I was telling my buddies, I go, look, even though we each have between 6 and 10 years on, we still like to go out, find stolen cars. We like to get into foot chases.
Yeah.
We'll fight a dude if we have to fight a dude. And we have to be okay with the fact that he's not us. He can handle a call for service. And in all honesty, that's the job of patrol.
Right. And he'll get better when he's on his own, hopefully, as he gets more experience.
That's the hope. But I think he's going to end up going to a senior team and parking behind a target and just being okay with that. And
so ROD,
it's his career, not mine. I'll get the next boot and we'll turn and burn.
Yeah. Well, so I looked up the Officer Dow Memorial page. Since the last time I recorded was in April, there's been 79. So if anybody wants to know more about these officers, you can go to odmp.org, OceanDavidMaryPaul.org, and look up the officers. I'm just going to call out one.
Have a quick question. I haven't looked at it. Do they include CSOs?
Oh, that's a good non-certified.
Right, but they're out in the public. They're doing it because,
of course.
Well, the reason it's post is, I don't know if we're the first one nationwide, but we're definitely the first one in California where we had a line of duty death of a CSO.
Really?
And it was, it brought up some questions. Like, obviously, we're going to try to go to the max, but we had a local, we do have a professional sports team in our city. And anytime we've had an officer go down on the line of duty, they either donate or we rent out the arena in which they play. And that's where the funeral is held.
Hmm.
And it was kind of like, there was a brief moment of like, well, do we do that?
Right.
And then it kind of, because he was doing traffic control on a crash and a drunk driver blew through the cone pattern, hit his car, hit him, hit another CSO. The other CSO lived, thankfully. But we had one succumb to his injuries later that evening.
Do you have his name? I mean, is it okay for you to say it?
I'm going to play that one close to the vest because okay. I know the family is very private.
Yeah.
And it was a lot for them to be okay with that big of a funeral.
Right.
But I know that they really appreciated it. But I just kind of scrolling through to see, because it wasn't too long ago.
I don't, I'm stopped.
But I think that's kind of something to consider, right? Because I mean, these people are out there
helping us,
serving their community, right?
Right.
For us, they're taking like burglary reports with no suspect info. They're taking stolen vehicle reports with no suspect info. They do a lot of work, and then they do traffic control. They do community events. Like, they're out in the public,
right?
They're actively helping. So I mean, they do all the community events. So I would argue they absolutely should be included in the like officer down stuff. But yeah, no, I'm not seeing it. I'm gone all the way back to April.
Well, I'm in April too, because I was going to mention Chicago police officer Luis Huesca. He was ambushed at his house after shift. And he was the second one in the year to be ambushed in front of their house. And he actually went to the academy with the other officer who was murdered in front of her house. But I brought that up because I went to that funeral. That's the last funeral that I attended as a police officer. And it was just really hard to go. And I've done about 20 of them. I used to be on the honor guard. So it was a pretty sad day. But he was ambushed at home after shift. And I spoke with one of his classmates who was friends with him and the other female police officer that was murdered. She was just having a hard time trying to figure out what the fuck two of her classmates ambushed at home. So anyways, there are 79 total, and there are a few, I think, canines. I didn't get down to the bottom. I saw there's a bunch of canines. Yeah. One. So like 7 or 8 since we last done it, but there's got to be about 12 canines as well. So
yeah,
please go check out the website odmp.org if you want to know more about those officers. And then I also want
112 officers to so date far.
Yeah,
this year.
I also wanted to give a shout out to the Red Cross. My brother lives in Tampa. I have a friend that lives on Pine Island, just south of Cape Coral. I think it's Cape Coral. So 2 hurricanes in 2 weeks. My brother's neighborhood's devastated. Luckily, he did not lose anything. His friends are suffering. And my buddy, Norm, his house from 2 weeks ago, a hurricane last year destroyed his house. They finally got it rebuilt. And then the hurricane 2 weeks ago and this hurricane did some more damage to the property around his house. His house is still being rebuilt, and it just got a little bit of water damage this time. But my uncle's also down in Florida. So anybody that has family down in Florida, you can help out by reaching out to the Red Cross. There's a 1-800 number and a website. So,
yep. If you're Red Cross, and I'm going to throw the same plug out there from last time we were recording when the Afghanistan withdrawal was going on, that saveourallies.org. They are currently running operations in both North Carolina and Florida to bring supplies to people and to extract people.
I actually got an email from our FOP, State Lodge, Fraternal Order of Police, Union Lodge, looking for volunteers to go down to Tennessee because they're doing the same thing, right? They're bringing supplies and stuff, and they want trained personnel to help out. They're going to be serving meals to all the first responders and the people that are out there trying to locate people and all that. So I actually wanted to fill it out, but you know, they ask for all your certs and then you need all that paperwork on hand as you send it in, and all my shit's at the station. So now that I have the opportunity to go and do that, because I don't have a schedule anymore, but I didn't make this round. I think they're going to do it again in November. So any way you can help out, please help out those people. Do you want to do some woodworking stuff? You want to call it?
No, let's talk about woodworking stuff. We got a whole like 25 right. minutes we can talk about.
All right, let's transition. Wood. Let's transition to woodworking.
Oh,
hold on.
You got it.
There we go. Did you get it?
I doubt it.
There we go. Woodworking side. I have something real quick. I'll get mine out of the way and then you can talk, because I think you might have been in your shop a lot more than I have lately. So that baseball team I played on last year, we won the championship. And a couple of funny things. One of the guys on my team, my buddy Mark, he is an actual talent agent. That's his career. Max Weinberg is one of his talents that he manages. So he happens to know.
For people who don't know, who is Max Weinberg?
Max Weinberg is a drummer of the E Street Band and Conan O'Brien's band. I don't know if Conan still has a band, because I haven't watched Conan in a while. But so Mark is also friends with Chuck Garfine, who is the studio host for all the White Sox pre and post game stuff on the cable network out here that carries the White Sox games. So last year, we finished in first place, and then we swept the first two games in the playoffs, and I had to play first base one of the games because our two first basemen were out. And I got to tell you, I was throwing a gold glove around. It was amazing. You know me, I play outfield or second base.
Just everything clanking off of it?
Yeah. It was actually
a lot of fun. Play with a gold glove. That's going to be what clank. Happens.
I actually had a soft leather glove. It was actually catching everything and scooping stuff out of the dirt.
Was it supple?
It was supple, yeah. Okay. And then we ended up, we beat, I think it was the White Sox or whatever, for 1917 White Sox for the championship. So we won last year's championship. The guy, Tim Murphy, who runs the team, when I called to try out, it was for 52 and over. So I went to the tryouts and there was like seven of us trying out for that age group. It's a huge international or national league. It's the senior men's baseball league. So, no one from the 52s got drafted. And this old Italian guy who was running the Yankees, his name was Sergio. He's like, "Hey, Morazzo, you want to play for my team?" And I just came out of the cages and was throwing a little bit. And I said, "Well," he goes, "if you don't get drafted, you know, you could play for my team." Or I said, "How about I just play for your team? You know, I'm looking for a team to get on. I don't know anybody here." So he goes, "Okay, how about you go in the cages one more time?" He, calls this other Italian guy over. He goes, get some Morazzo. Get this paisan in the cage. So we walk over to the cages. There's like four groups. There's 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds. And he goes up to the 20-year-olds and he goes, "Hey, get out of the cage. I got to get this guy some more swings." I'm like, "Wait, what?" He's like, "Come on, get out." So he kicks this kid out. I'm like, "Sorry, dude." He's like, "It's no problem." I go in there, hit some more. He's like, "Okay, we're going to start in 3 weeks." I'm like, "All right." He goes, "I'm allowed to get one younger guy on my team, since it's a 60 and over team, not the 52s. So getting close to the team, starting, I don't hear anything. I call him up. I'm like, "Hey, I gotta need a uniform. I need a schedule." "Oh, yeah. Since you don't play catcher, I can't use you." I'm like, "Thanks for letting me know." He goes, "I gave your number to a couple guys." I'm like, "Okay." So one of them calls me, this guy, Tim, and we start talking. And he hears the police radio and he goes, "What do you do?" I go, "I'm a cop." He goes, "Oh, we got a police officer on the team." "Where do you work?" I tell him. He goes, "Oh, I grew up in Melrose Park. It's right nearby." I go, "Okay. Where'd you go to high school?" He tells me. I said, "Oh." He goes, "My brother-in-law went to your school, your high school." And I'm like, "All right. I graduated in 84. Who the hell? I don't know this guy." And he goes, "His name's Capizio." I go, "My buddy Nick Capizio?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "That's my brother-in-law." He goes, "That's my brother-in-law." I go, "Is Kathy your sister?" He goes, "Yeah." I get the fuck out of here. I stood up in his wedding. He goes, "So did I." I go, "Get the 34 years ago. I met you 34 years ago." So he's like, "Oh, man, I'll come out." And he goes, "If you make the team, you know, I'll get your uniform and stuff." And I said, "Okay, but what are your team colors? Because my last team was black and orange." He goes, "We're black and orange." I'm like, "Get the fuck out of here." So anyways, we won the championship. And then this year they won again. I didn't get to play except for the last game, which locked up a home field advantage for the playoffs. But I'm making a bottle opener for him, and a mini one and a full one. And we're the Zephyrs. And I made this. This is how bad it's been in the shop. I haven't been down here in a long time. There's supposed to be an S there. I made the fonts too big, pushed it off to the edge. It took me 4 days to paint it and seal it and everything. I put on the engraver, and then that happens. So I got that going on. And then the clerk in Schiller Park where I work wants a big wavy flag, and they want the village logo on to hang over the flag. So I did the wavy flag like 3 months ago. I'd never done one. They want a huge one for the village hall. This was a practice one, 37-inch one. So I did the 37-inch one, and now it's taken me 3 months to figure out how to engrave the logo, because it's like we call it the sperm. It's on our patch. So I got the sperm done, and like I did the outline for the bottom, and then I did the three waves on the front. So I got that all glued up, and I'm doing a sign for the Morton Grove Police Department. I've done badges for them. I did a 5-foot flag for them, that really big one a few years ago.
Yeah,
they just had an officer die from cancer. So they want his favorite quote in the middle of the sign with his four badges, patrol, sergeant, detective, and honor guard on there. So I glued up some maple panels for that. I'm going to engrave it and then fill it with epoxy and then sand it down flat, you know, and then I got some mahogany to trim it out. And that's what I'm working on now. And I finished over in the spring a 15 flag order for a company in Georgia, the McLean. Which you actually saw and shared for me. So that was appreciated. That's what I got going on.
You know, I did a vendor show finally.
That's exciting. Was it a farmer's market or just open vendors?
No. So my son does martial arts. Part of that, he's on their demonstration team.
Okay.
They go around, they do all kinds of performances and stuff, choreography. And they were doing a fundraiser because they wanted to get what's called a crash pad so they could try to learn like flips and stuff.
Cool.
And you know, that will keep them from breaking their neck, and I'm all for that. So one of the things that they were deciding to do is, hey, we're going to do a craft vendor show. I was like, oh, sweet. This is a perfect opportunity. I'll do it. Make a bunch of stuff. Get a bunch of these like 40-ounce Stanley style tumblers from Sam over at Uncharted, who just launched a new company called Maker Supply, where he has like laser engravable blanks. So if you're looking for laser blanks, go to Maker Supply, buy it from Sam, solid dude, great prices. Go there. So make a bunch of cups, make some like coffee table tic-tac-toe things, do like some layer stuff. All this stuff, right? Get it all packed up, ready to go. And he made some shirts. It was like, we were pretty well stocked. Cool. Show up, get it all set up. I sold one thing.
What was it?
One thing. It was a tic-tac-toe thing. And okay. I sold it to another vendor.
Don't let that discourage you.
No, it was fine because the main thing was wanting to support the kids.
Right. And yeah.
Like all these kids they're awesome. Like Caleb's one of the oldest ones there. So it's all a bunch of little kids, which he is officially now a black belt candidate.
Wow. Good for him.
Pretty soon he's going to be starting his black belt training, which is super cool. So yeah, that was the whole thing. And like I'm sitting here, I'm looking at two boxes
full
of stuff that I didn't sell. So I started listing it on Etsy, and I started using a cheat code. You can like take a photo, right?
Uh-huh.
Upload it to ChatGPT, and I also add the prompt.
Right.
Can you write me an Etsy listing for this? Because I like, that's the thing that I'm horrible at, is writing the listing. And it spits it out and you list it, and I have sold nothing. So most of my stuff has always been word of mouth, and it seems like that's the way we're going to go, because I got a box I need to make for an end of shift gift that a patrol team's given to their sergeant. So once we're done here, I'm going to have to go down and make a box joint jig, because the box that he showed me had finger joints and I've never done that.
Yeah.
So we're going to go make some mistakes.
I when I bought my house in Alabama, my realtor's this fantastic guy, Matt. So John Erickson from O Dark 30, he lives an hour and a half away from me where I'm going to live. So he meets me. We meet my, my Matt, my realtor. We go to the house and Matt knows that I do woodworking. So he said, "Hey, I'd love to get you to do some stuff for me when you move down here and get your shop up where we can give out cutting boards and stuff that you make to my clients." And then John's like, "I can do that for you right now." I'm like, "You son of a bitch."
It's you just, mother?
What? So John tried, you know, worming his way in there. But they do a thing in Florence, is the city where we're going to be living. The first Friday of every month, they have this thing called First Fridays. You guys might do it. I don't know. They shut down certain streets downtown. The police are out. They got live bands, that vendors, all these people that make stuff are on the streets. So I walked past. It's also the home of North Alabama University. So there's a lot of North Alabama University stuff down, gear and flags and stuff. But one of the kids, he must work. He must be a student there. He's got his stand out there and he's got his flag out there. And I looked at it and I said to Kim, "Oh, this poor guy. When I start coming down here and making flags, I'm going to put him out of business." Kim goes, "That's not really, that's not nice. You can't do that. He's making money for himself." I go, "Yeah, but look at his flags. Aren't very good." I'm sorry.
I believe the phrase is "fuck them kids."
Right. I got to get shit done. So I've got,
because my kids, my two oldest ones, Caleb and Hannah, they started doing like paracord bracelets.
Oh, cool.
And selling stuff at like they have a homeschool like craft fair thing they've been gearing up to get ready to do. And I laughed hysterically because my son bought like a wooden sword. And I thought like, "Oh, that's cool." Like some kid, like it's for all homeschool kids.
Okay.
So it's like this other kid, I think he's like 14, 15 years old. So Caleb orders it from him. And like 2-3 weeks go by and all of a sudden the kid comes over and drops it off. And like Caleb comes in, he's waving. I go, "Let me see that." And I swear to God, he took a stick and like sanded down the sides to create like a bevel.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all he did.
Did he put a point on it?
Barely.
Okay.
Like there is a slight little angle there, but like I look at it, I'm like, because you could still see like marker on, on the side of the wood of like where it was marked in the store or wherever he got it from. And I'm like, "Hey, buddy, how much did you pay for that?" "It's like $35. Like,
wow.
You paid $35 for that, huh?"
Wow. "Let me show you how to make it for $2. Come on down to the shop."
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for that kid who sold a stick for $35.
That's after he went off to play with that. I look at my wife and go, "Man, there's a sucker born every single." That kid saw him coming a mile away.
Yeah. But I got to find more customers like that. So you're thinking at the same time.
I know. I'm like, where the hell are all these people? But we do have something kind of similar that we have Farmers Market Wednesdays where they shut off like the main downtown drag. And there's all kinds of little pop-up things. But I work Wednesdays. So there's a lot of times I can't do that stuff. Right. So.
Well, I got all winter to build up some stock. If I'll do it, I don't know. Because this used to be my escape. But now that I'm up during the day for one. And I bought a Harley last year. I bought two motorcycles last year. Kim bought two motorcycles last year. One's a 250 that she thought my daughter would learn to ride. It's still sitting in the garage. Kim bought a Sportster 1200 XL. And then I bought a Honda Shadow Aero 750 at first. Didn't have enough horsepower. So I bought a Street Glide, a 2017 Street Glide, which is so effing heavy and powerful. I've almost killed myself twice on it. And it took me three months to ride it again after I had an incident where I turned into the wrong lane of traffic and almost died. Luckily, it was a Sunday. There was no cars coming. I corrected okay. And then I put the bike in the garage and hadn't been on it until last week. I've been out like 4 or 5 times since last week. But I want to do, now that I have time with winter coming, right? I just remodeled my kitchen, complete new kitchen. That's all done. I just caulk and paint the crown I just put up. So I'll have limited stuff to do in the house. The house is almost finished. So I can just get in the shop with cold weather, not drawing me outside, and get some stuff done for spring. So maybe I can get some stock done like you. Because you have a whole box of stuff, and you can bring that stuff now to any show. It's already done.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we were talking about. Is the first show was going to be the most hectic because you were going to have to – I was building and finishing and assembling right up to, "Hey, we got to go."
Right. Wait, I'm almost done.
Like, I have cell phone stands, all kinds of stuff. And most of it was done on the laser.
Okay.
So I kind of like, I'm sitting there going like, do I still do woodworking on my board? I'm a laser guy now.
No, it counts.
Lasers work. It is using wood.
So. Me and you might have to FaceTime because my laser is over there that I bought from Dave, you know? And I bought a new module for it, a more powerful one. I got an air assist. I got the vent vacuum thing going. I just don't have an enclosure for it. And I've bought two different ones. One was way too big. One was too small. I have to build an enclosure for it. So I got to figure out how to do that because it's sitting on the bench over there.
Use the one that's too big.
No, I mean, it was really too big, like humongous. I returned it. It wasn't even. Yeah, I had to return it. So.
Okay. Here's what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna get like a big, like just plastic thing.
Yeah.
That will fit over it.
Oh, drill a hole in it.
You can drill a big ass hole in it.
Okay.
You're going to put the little tube in there and you duct tape it.
Okay.
And then when you're ready to go, you're just going to put that bitch over it and you're done.
Okay.
Enclosure.
Stop, or you can just take it out here. It.
Yes. Or here, wild idea, and take it to your garage. Open your garage door.
Yeah.
Do you have a fan?
Have you seen my garage? It's got motorcycles in it. Of course. Then blow it outside.
And then blow it. That's what I do.
But it's going to be so cold soon. Today it's 45 degrees outside.
Okay. 45 is doable.
Yeah, I guess.
Just open it up. You can angle the fan to blow it out.
Yeah.
And at least do something with it and then order an enclosure for it or
build one.
Use that time to make it.
Yeah. I think this winter it'll be making one. And I had all these shop plans, dude, right? I was going to blow out the wall. And I'm going to get rid of this house soon. So why would I even put any more money in this shop? So
no, just make do with what you got until you get down to Alabama.
Yeah.
But at least get it, like make something with it. Anything.
I'm trying.
Engrave something.
Trying. I want to engrave the back of my flags, for goodness sakes, just with my logo. And I can't even get to that point yet. So I'll get there.
You could. You could do that. You do it like right. You could do it today.
Actually, I have to do this today. And then, but yeah, tomorrow I could.
You could do it today.
So
you take 10 minutes.
My buddy.
Or even if you dedicated a full hour, this is what you could do. A full hour. If you started a clock, 60 seconds, you could take that thing to your garage. You could set it on something.
Yeah.
Preferably something flat.
Right.
You could open up Lightburn.
And just do something.
You could run a test grid because Lightburn has that option.
Okay.
And then you could set a piece of wood on there that is commonly used by you. Press go. Let it do its thing. And then you can look at that piece of wood and go, these settings work best. And then you could put another piece of wood on there and you could make something.
Okay.
Anything. In our bedroom, we have a like 4x6 piece of wood,
mm-hmm.
pine, just pine with a nice little chamfered edge and a really elegant font. It just says, I love you. That's the first thing I made.
Oh,
and then I spread a shit ton of lacquer on it and put a hanger on the back. And then put it in there. And it's still hanging up in our room. It looks great.
All right. It's on my list. It
took like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
No. Doing it today.
So like to focus the laser, like I know some guys have setup blocks. They lower the laser onto the setup block. And then, you know, I don't have any of that stuff. I have to do it manually.
Okay. Okay. So Google.
How to focus.
Name of laser.
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
No. Google name of laser.
Mm-hmm.
Focal length.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And then it will tell you. That's what I had to do. I went Ortor focal length. I took with a close, like the hanger rods, the dowels.
Okay.
And I cut it to that length.
Oh,
and then that's how I focused the Ortors.
Okay.
And then I bought one that had the little kickstand in it. So all you do is you just drop that little kickstand down until it touches the wood.
Right.
And now my X tool, I just go over into the creative space and I click focus. And it automatically goes down and auto-focuses.
Okay.
I don't have to worry about that.
Nice. I do plan on getting a Thunder when I get down to Alabama. But until then.
Well, let's. How about we just start with use the laser you have?
Yes. There's so much stuff I want to make.
You currently have.
I've had.
have had
for like 3 years.
You currently have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just
yeah.
outgrow. How about we use that one and then outgrow it?
Okay. Like you did. You went through two other lasers already.
Yeah. I got two sitting over here that I've been trying to sell. I thought I had someone willing to take them, and then just intimidated by light burn. I'm like, no, it's really easy. I promise. Just take these off my hands.
You can learn it fast.
You, I promise.
All right. Well, it was very good to see you in all seriousness.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I'm glad that we were able to do this. I don't know what your schedule's like all the time, but if Mondays work for you, that's good. We have a number
Mondays
of people.
Mondays are going to be the best day.
All right. We have a number of people who want to be guests. Matt Voltner wants to be a guest. And remember Alex from WorkbenchCon? Alex Duffy?
Yeah.
He wants to be on. And then Steve from Making a Home wants to be on. It's just getting them all together on a Monday, I guess. We have to, if Mondays it is, then we'll see if they have availability on Mondays. If they can't do during the days, can you do evenings? I don't know. Monday evening.
On Mondays, that's tougher.
Yeah.
Because I get up at 4 on Tuesday.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course.
So if we needed to do like a Saturday night.
Okay.
I might be able to make that work because most of our Saturday stuff is during the day.
Okay. Because I'd like to get some scheduled out. So we have them.
Yeah. If we can get them locked in for an actual time, like a window of time. Yeah.
Okay.
Then I can adjust my schedule.
But yeah. All right.
We are entering into the season of Nutcracker and Nutcracker rehearsals.
Right.
And now I have two dancers. I had one dancer. Now I have two dancers.
They multiplied.
They did. Yeah. One got old enough. And now they're in the thing.
Oh, I had some stuff I wanted to show you. Because I might have sent you pictures, but you know, the patches and stuff.
Family show. It's a family show, Mike. Family show.
Yeah. I tried to get a second one of these.
You finally got the Boston one.
Yeah. I wanted to get two, one for me, one for you. I went into their downtown station house as I was walking in. It must have been shift change. Guys were running out, and there's this big dude behind this big glass wall, and he goes, "What do you need?" And I said, "Hey man, I'm a retired copper from Illinois. I want to get a patch." And these two guys running out go, "Get that guy a patch." I'm like, "Thanks. Be safe." He's like, "You be safe." They run out, and then the guy goes, "Okay, I think I got one in the back." And I brought one of my old ones just to give to them for Boston. So he goes away, and I look up through the glass up on the wall where their patch board is, and there's a Sycamore PD patch, my police department that I worked at in 2014 and 2015 or whatever. I'm like, "Holy shit, I said to Kim, "Look, there's a Sycamore patch up there." Anyways, I told the guy, "Put this one right up next to that Sycamore patch." But when we went to the Boston Marathon starting line, which is in Hopkinton Police, they're 26 miles away from the finish line, of course. And then, of course, 26.2 from the finish line. But they're like 25 miles from the city limits. Then we walked across the street to the firehouse there. I gave that patch to my buddy Drew. And then I went to Salem. And I told you, I went in and asked for a patch. And the sergeant laughed at me. And she said, "We don't give those out anymore. But if you turn around, there's a vending machine right there. You can buy as many as you want." So I bought many. I got this is from Manchester by the Sea. And then I got this. This is the one that Salem wears now. It's pretty cool. Then they have the Gay Pride one. That's cool. They have the dive team. I bought a drone unit team as well. I gave that to my buddy who does our drones at our police department. But I've never seen a police patch vending machine before. It was hilarious.
It's genius, though.
Right? And I spent $60 there. Oh, and I got this challenge coin, too, of the witch going through the moon or whatever. So, and then this patch came in the mail. I don't know if you watched the show The Flash, but this was Central City Police Department. I had to buy that. I collect movie police patches, too, that aren't real because I don't have
a patch. You got to find River City.
What town is that? Or what movie show is that?
That is from every California Post training video there is.
Oh, really?
They all work for the River City Police Department.
Do they have patches that say it?
Yes.
Okay.
That's hilarious.
That's an eBay thing.
There are whole meme pages dedicated to the River City Police Department.
Okay. What was the name of the Starsky and Hutch city? Because that was made up in California too, and it's been used numerous times.
Born in the 80s, Mike.
But you didn't see the Starsky and Hutch movie with Ben Stiller? Bay City.
I saw Bay it City. Once, and it was trash.
Stop now. I got to hang up on you.
It was objectively horrible.
I can't.
It was not a good movie.
We used so many lines from that movie. Like, found a wallet, nothing in it, no cash whatsoever. All right. Anyways, with that, I guess we'll say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 67. Coming up on 69, Brandon. A couple more weeks. We'll be there. Thank you to our sponsor, Surf Prep Sanding. I don't know.
You can see part of it behind my shame.
Well, I don't even know.
McKinsey got new bedroom furniture, and this is the only room we had.
Nice. Well, that's fine. It works for you. All right. Not really. Thank you.
Pretty irritated by it.
You're irritated by it?
Yes.
You want to be irritated? Come look at my garage.
Oh, I don't even want to pan you around. I had to, like, I spent an hour, not an hour. I spent like 20 minutes in here last night moving shit out of the way.
Yeah.
Just to where I'm like, all right, cool. I can sit here now.
We all have that going on. I wanted a small house when I retired. My wife bought 5 acres of woods with an in-ground pool and 2 buildings that she's going to fill with a bunch of shit, and I have no control over it.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, so we have to deal with what our wives do. So, all right. It was good talking to you. Any words of wisdom? No. We forgot.
Oh, I do have one question. I have one question for you.
Okay. Uh-oh.
How about them Cowboys?
Oh, I forgot to tell you. After last year's playoff debacle, I started interviewing other teams for fandoms. I'm no longer a Cowboy fan after 45 years. Actually, 1976 I started. So I'm no longer a Cowboy fan. How about them Bears?
Only Bears?
Yeah. Bears. And I like Cincinnati and the Bills and the Colts. You know, a couple other teams. I've always liked the Colts.
I like the NFL.
I like the NFL. But yeah, don't talk to me about the Cowboys.
They have pretty uniforms. I like that team.
I know the Cowboys have one less win than your 49ers right now. So, and this goes back to all the Cub fans this year, because the White Sox set several records this year, all in the wrong way.
I wasn't going to bring that up. I was going to let that go.
It's okay. I got my.
I was going to let that go because I would just be mean.
Yeah, I know. But my buddy Bob, real quick, who's a huge Cub fan, diehard Cub fan, he posted on Facebook a few weeks ago about how bad the Sox season was. And I said to Kim, because I'm barely on Facebook anymore, I said to him, oh, ask him how many playoff games the Cubs are in this year. And that pretty much shut him up.
Amount as the White Sox.
That's right. So, yeah, my teams, the Cowboys and the White Sox and then the Blackhawks and the Bulls. Yeah, that's going to be a long winter with the Hawks and Bulls as well. So, but go Bears. Caleb Williams looks amazing. He's taken some time. The last 3 weeks have been incredible. So,
yeah, that pass he threw right into the side of his offensive lineman's helmet was great.
Stop it.
That's elite.
Well, he had 4 other really good passes for touchdown. So he is looking really good.
Against the Jaguars. Against the Jaguars.
He still has to put that throw on it where he did. So
that's true. He does look good the last couple of weeks, but I want to see him against a really good defense.
We're having a chili party in 2 weeks, and the Bears are playing the Commanders. So it'll be interesting to see those two quarterbacks go at each other, because that kid is amazing too. So it'll be fun.
Jaden Daniels, starting quarterback for the Pretty Little Liars.
Pretty Little Liars?
I'm sorry, Pretty Kittle Liars. It's my fantasy team.
Oh, is that your fantasy team? I stopped playing fantasy like 16 years ago.
Well, we finally, like, the kids are old enough to where they're a part of it now.
All right, that's
cool. We have a family league of 4 teams.
Awesome. My team name was Rick Grimes Beard. That was my last team name. So, all right. Well, good luck to your fantasy team. I sent you a video on, I don't know if it's Messenger or Facebook today, with George Kittle. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it yet.
It's a national treasure.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I do like him. He's fun. I was watching Receiver. Have you seen that on Netflix show yet?
Oh, yeah. Andy and I watched the hell out of that.
Okay. That's pretty cool. So, all right, we can go on for more hours, but you got to go.
We could. Yeah.
I got nothing to do.
I got to make sure the kids are learning.
Okay.
And I got to start making shit.
All right. Have a good day. Tell Annie I said hi, and I'll talk with you later.
She says hi.
Oh, thank you. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. See you, buddy.
All right, bye.